everybody. Welcome to episode 432 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another San Diego Soundbite episode. It's with comic writer Joe Henderson. He writes the title Skyward from Image Comics. It's a book that completely blew me away from the second that I read the first issue. I've talked in the past about how I contacted Joe at like 9, 11 p.m. at night, some ridiculous late time at night on a Monday when the comic was coming out that Wednesday, hoping to have him on the show. And sure enough, he made time the following day so we could record it Tuesday and have it released Wednesday when the issue one was hitting the stands. It's such a great concept he's had of Earth's gravity changing, right? Gravity's now 10% of what it used to be. The world itself has become a much more dangerous place, but in a way, it's become a lot cooler place too for the people who've grown up knowing only this world. I mean, everybody can fly, literally. I mean, that's cool, right? But there are other consequences that go along with that, and there's somewhat of a conspiracy theory building, and Joe hasn't really wasted much time. The story is paced very quickly. And also, I should mention that the art from Lee Garbett is second to none. He does a great job of kind of capturing the, I'll say, brightness of the world, but still showing the inherent dangers that there are. So, again, I think it's a very well done story, and I want to be sure that there are plenty of you readers out there picking it up, because I feel like it's a book that deserves a lot of attention, because it is the first comic work from Joe Henderson. There may be some of you out there where it's kind of flying under your radar, and so I want to be sure that that everybody has a chance to check it out. So in addition to Skyward, Joe is also the showrunner for Lucifer, and that show was canceled by Fox earlier this year, and through kind of a fan campaign, they were able to save the show. So you will hear Joe and I in the interview talk a little bit about that, how overwhelmed he has been with the fans, you know, doing everything that they could to see the show continue. And it has been picked up by Netflix. I don't think there's any return date set, but I think Joe mentions in the interview that they do have a 10 episode order, and they're going to start filming pretty soon. So again, credit to Joe for being so accessible. He really made himself available to me, and I really, really appreciate it. So the book is Skyward. It's a whole heck of a lot of fun. It's one of those books where I feel like it's a reminder of why comic books and sequential art exist, because you are able to tell some really compelling stories with these characters and with this medium. So, and for those of you who are fans of Lucifer, there's a little bit in here for you as well. Again, as I mentioned, Joe talking about how surprised and how touched he was that the fans of Lucifer were able to get Netflix to pick up the show, and they kind of were saved at the last minute. So it couldn't happen to a greater guy. I feel like Joe and I are kind of kindred spirits in a way. We're about the same age, grew up reading comics, seem to have a lot of the same values. So it was great to meet him face to face. You know, he as I said, he'd been on the show previously, but again, great to have him on the show. Great to talk comics. You know, I've talked about this on the podcast before too. Oftentimes when I sit down with a creator and we talk and we chat, and it's for you guys, for you listeners to be able to kind of get behind the scenes and understand why a creator does what they do, like why they're making the creative decisions and the decisions as far as narrative and story that they do. And I like you all to hear all that stuff, but often my favorite time is when I turn the recorder off and we're talking about things that are a little more personal, let's say. And that's when the friendships are really kind of forged. So it's not that I'm trying to exclude you, you listeners, but again, it's just a different dynamic when the creator knows it's kind of, you know, off the record and it's a little more personal. We get into a little more background kind of stuff. And when those kind of things happen, I don't take it for granted. It really is the beginning of friendships. It's how friendships start, right? How we connect with each other. And I value that time so much. And it's one of the reasons I love doing what I do, beyond being able to introduce people to new stories and new comics. So again, the creative team on Skyward, from writer Joe Henderson, artist Lee Garbett, and I should mention Antonio Fabella. We talk a little bit about that. His color work in the interview as well. Just that juxtaposition with how dangerous the world is, but how bright Antonio makes it with his color choices, and how that helps to set the mood and the tone of the story. So I want to be sure I don't forget about mentioning him as well. And I should also mention Simon Bolin, the letter, who's I think letters just about everything these days. He's very prolific and does an incredible job. I don't know specifically if Joe and I talk about it in this podcast, but you know, I've talked about it many times where letters are such an unsung part of the process. It's kind of like a baseball umpire, right? When they do a good job, their name's not even mentioned. Nobody even notices they're there. But when they mess up and it pulls you out of the story, or in the case of an umpire, when they mess up and you do pay attention to them, that's when they get noticed, right? And that's not necessarily a good thing. Kind of the same way with letters. Nobody compliments a letter when they do it perfectly and everything is just as it's supposed to be, because it just becomes part of the story, part of the narrative, and it doesn't pull you out of the story. You're just pulled further in. You're just engrossed in it. But when lettering is done poorly, it is obvious and it is jarring. And that's when people pay attention. So it's very much a thankless job. So I want to make sure that I acknowledge Simon as well. So anyway, I'll let you get to the interview. Joe has a lot of interesting things to say about building the story and the reasons he made certain choices and where the story goes from here. So as always, I want to thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. All right, this is Jace from The Comic Source coming to you live from San Diego Comic-Con. Once again, I'm here with creator Joe Henderson. Joe, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, it's great to meet face-to-face.
I know.
I feel like there's kismet here.
Yes. Oh, yes. No, this is awesome. I'm so excited. I'm excited to be back at Comic-Con, too.
Yeah, so let's get the obvious out of the way. Just came from the Lucifer panel.
Yep.
It's been picked up another year.
We're back. And it's fantastic. We're 10 episodes, Netflix, next season, and it's just been so much fun. And it's been fun to come back to Comic-Con, which we didn't think we'd be coming back to, and just celebrate. It's been phenomenal.
I have to add, like, when the panel started, the fans must have just been like...
Oh, we didn't actually do a panel. We've just been doing interviews and stuff. So we were picked up so late, we didn't even have time to get a panel scheduled. So Tom Ellis, our lead, is actually cameoing on a couple. So what we've just been doing is wandering about taking photos and like meeting people and doing interviews. But what we got to do in particular was meet Neil Gaiman, which was quite possibly one of the greatest moments of my life, because I'm a huge fan of his and because we've only talked over the phone. So that was incredible. It was fun to just have him and Tom in the same space. But yeah, we are not probably going to have a panel for a little bit because we don't even know when the show is coming back.
Right.
That's up to our Netflix masters.
Have you started production yet? Or
we start planning? In a month.
In a month. Okay.
Yeah,
so a little more time off and then...
No time.
but the fan reaction was amazing, right?
It was... The day we found out, it was one of the hardest days I've gone through in a while because I didn't think we were not coming back. I thought we were going to have another season. And then the next day, the fan reaction was so touching that even if we hadn't come back, that was a win. Like, that was so cool. And it was incredibly thrilling to find out how many people actually watched the show, loved the show, cared about the show. So the fact that we actually get to make another season because of them is amazing.
That's amazing. All right, on to the matter at hand. Skyward.
Yes.
Skyward. It's one of, I was just saying before we started recording, one of my favorite books that's out right now. I think
Thank
one of the
you.
Best books on the stands. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it's flying under the radar a little bit. I think not enough people are reading it.
I agree with you just because I want more people people reading it. I think
exactly.
You're right.
Every person who's a reader of comics should be reading it, and every person who's not a reader of comics needs to discover comics through this book.
I'm so happy you said that, because I do feel like it is a book that you can give someone just read comics. Clean entryway, a simple concept. You don't need to know anything other than what the first issue gives you. And that was really important to me, because I know a lot of people who don't read comics, and it's a bit of the impenetrability barrier. Right. And by the way, like, I'm the guy who started comics by reading Infinity Gauntlet number one, and it was completely impenetrable, and I didn't care because it was amazing.
Right.
But like, I get that some people just want a simple in where they don't have to know anything, and that's what this book is. And hopefully it can be a gateway drug to a bunch of other stuff.
So remind our listeners what it's about, and for anyone listening for the first time, kind of what's the elevator pitch?
So Skyward takes place when basically gravity on Earth became a fraction of what it was. But instead of it being this huge apocalyptic story, instead we take place 20 years later where we've adapted. We've survived. You could actually argue in many ways we are thriving. This low gravity world where you, if you jump too high, you never come back down, but at the same time you can fly. So our story follows a 20-year-old woman named Willa, and this is the only world she's ever known, and she loves it. But it follows the story of what happens when she finds out her dad may be able to have a way to fix gravity, and the question of, should you?
Yeah, and I'm really loving how we're getting that perspective. We're getting her dad, who grew up in the traditional world, and kind of fears this new world because he knows how dangerous it is. And it seems like he is struggling with the idea of should I not? And her, Willa's perspective, you know, the daughter, the new generation, that this is the only world she's ever known. So, of course, to her, this is normal.
Exactly. And so much of the book is about fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of things. And the father is this man who is ruled by fear. He went through this terrible trauma, and because of it, he won't even leave his own house because the sky is terrifying. And in this case, he's actually right to a point. But his daughter is fearless. She loves the world. It's amazing. And one of the things that's really important to me is having this main character who is just so buoyant and almost reflects the good of the world and what the world can be. But a lot of her journey is realizing that the world has its dangers too, and maybe she's underestimated them.
Yeah, and we really saw that at the end of issue 4, where her dad finally ventures out, and all of a sudden it's like the worst possible thing that could happen to him.
Yes.
Because he's already taken the big leap to finally leave his house.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I won't spoil it for you listeners, but if you haven't read it, but storms and, like, basically zero G, not a good thing.
It's a big thing that I was really excited to get to, is because a lot of people asked, where did all the water go? And our latest issue that came out Wednesday, that was a big question that we answered in hopefully a pretty crazy, awesome way. And Lee and Antonio killed it on the art on it. Like, it's just this beautiful visual. The book is beautiful in general. Like, I am so lucky to be able to work with them.
Yeah, I what I love about Lee's art is the consistency and the attention to detail.
Yes.
You know, it's like one of those things that, you know, this coming from the TV world where somebody gets a black eye in one episode and the very next episode it's gone,
yes.
Right? I mean, Lee, same thing. Willa goes through some challenges, we'll say, in issue 2 and 3, and you still see that carry over. Like, she still has, like, the little droplets of blood. And
yes.
Yeah, it's
still carrying.
It's
amazing. His character work is absolutely amazing, because this book is a big, crazy idea, but it's human and it's grounded, and you care about Willa because the way he renders her, and he makes her feel so human and so relatable in a way that it's an easily underestimated skill to actually make these characters feel so empathic, and he does it.
To convey the emotion and the acting, because, I mean, here's the truth of it. You created an incredible world, but if we don't care about the characters, you know, you can have the best idea in the world. Oh, yeah, gravity is at 10% of what it used to be. That's an intriguing idea.
Yeah.
But if you don't have characters that we care about and can relate to, then...
Yeah. It's like working with an actor. To be honest, Lee reminds me of Tom Ellis in a very strange way, which is when you give something to Tom Ellis, he makes it better. Like, and you can throw anything at him, and the bigger the challenge, the bigger the reward often. Same thing with Lee. Like, I'll just throw him something, and I'll be like, I don't know how this works, but I know that you'll find a way to, when it comes back to me, I'll be like, oh, that's exactly what I was thinking, but better.
Right.
And it's awesome.
So we started off talking about needing to get more readers reading it. How have the numbers been?
Numbers have been good, and actually we stabilized. I think we went down four issues of sales between 2 and 3. So we're nice and stable, but we are flying a little under the radar. I mean, we're not like a crazy, weird book. Like, we're a fun, hopefully very engaging adventure comic, and that's what I love about it. I love writing a book that, like, is fairly all ages. Like, it's a teen book. Like, I want 12-year-old boys and girls to read it, but I also want 50-year-old people to read it. I, like, my people of my age group, I'm 39, seem to really engage with it, and I think it's, hopefully it's a very universal story. But I think those are the kinds of books that can fall under the radar a bit because you don't have that incredibly big, crazy hook. I mean, right. We have a big, crazy hook of the lack of gravity, but we're just a book that is hopefully telling a really, really fun story with a surprising amounts of danger and character.
Yeah, and I think in the long run, it will pick up. Maybe, you know, when the trade comes out. I mean, I cover every issue on the New Comics Wednesday when
Thank
it comes
you.
Out.
Thank you.
Because it's so amazing, but yeah.
I think also, like, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I say also, I think the truth of it is, movie news helps. Like, when you get something optioned, like, all of a sudden I saw a nice big uptake. I think partially because people, you're asking for $3.99 of someone's money.
Yeah.
And you want a reason for that to be validated.
Yeah.
Reviews help. Things getting optioned as movie or TV, it helps because what it basically says is, oh, this is something that other people have validated. This is something that I can actually spend my money on and not feel like I'm going to waste it. And by the way, that's also a very important thing to me, that I know that we're asking for a lot of money, because to me that's, like, when I buy my comics, I want to make sure I get my value. We're always more than 20 pages. Sometimes our first issue is like 28. Our trade is going to be $9.99, and it's going to be big. Like, we try to give as much bang for the buck as we can.
Yeah, and another thing, speaking of value, you mentioned how it is so accessible to younger readers and older readers. I mean, this is something, you buy it, you identify with Willa because you're of that age group, give it to your mom, give it to your dad, they can check it out. I promise you, the dynamic, the parent-child dynamic in the book's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. So. Yeah, it's, and I recently had a daughter, and so a lot of it is me just channeling, like, my future fears and my future hopes.
Right.
Which has been really just sort of cathartic, but also just wonderful, because, like, that relationship is very personal to me.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Well, thanks so much for taking the time, Joe. The book's amazing. I'm gonna keep talking about it because it's a great book. That's the bottom
line.
Well,
issue 5, crazy shit happens.
I can't wait.
All I'm saying, it's a big one. I cannot wait for it to get out because everything changes.
All right, and where should listeners follow you on social media? They can keep up to date with Skyward and also any Lucifer news.
Yes, I am at Henderson_Joe on Twitter. Follow me there to see me post. Well, lately it's photos of me dancing in the TV Guide booth. So.
Awesome, and I'll put a link to Joe's Twitter in the show notes, everybody, so you can go check it out there.
Thank you.